So I want to share with you something that I was kind of proud of, because it's my own thought. Normally I just say over stuff from other people, but I don't know. We'll see if it still makes sense a couple of years later from when I thought about it. The Gemara, in the beginning of Masechta Sota, Dav Beis Amud Aleph, one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas, talks about the juxtaposition of Sota to Nazir. And the Gemara says, Kalara, Sota b'kukul, Yazir Asimim in the Yayin, that we're told that the Parsha of Nazir, right after the Parsha of Sota, because when you see the ramifications of misbehavior, so a person's going to want to behave very, very well. You see what happens to the Sota, so you're going to say, maybe I shouldn't get so into drinking. I remember I had a Talmud in DRS many years ago where we were nervous about him. You know, he started getting involved with a bad crowd and bad stuff. Whatever. So there used to be an area right outside of David's Pizza where Chevra would hang out. And, you know, it wasn't, they weren't doing Mitzvah Samaisim Tovim so much over there. So I remember I was with this Talmud. I don't remember why I was with him. You know, or what the context was. What we were talking about, like, what's your future going to be? And he's like, I have no intention. And he pointed to the chevra outside. I have no intention of ending up in the winner's circle over there. Meaning, he's like, those guys are, you know, like, you see where it brings you. It's like, they, what's their future? What are they going to be? What are they, you know, he's like, I have no intention of being in the, he looked just at that time, like, he was one of these guys that we were sure was either going to be like a Haredi living in Meir Shearim or like not from at all. And guess what? He's a regular modern Orthodox Balabas today. we never would have guessed that, you know, he just became like a system guy, you know. But anyway, so the you see what the winner's circle looks like. You see what Sota B'Kulkula looks like, and you say, you know what, that life is not for me. Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. No one wants that. So we know that Yazir Atzmo is different than just saying I'm not going to drink wine, right? Wine is one of the restrictions of a Nazir, but it's certainly not the only restriction of a Nazir. So there are three ways you could understand that Gemara. One way to understand the Gemara is, it just means you should refrain from wine. It doesn't mean become a Nazir, it just uses the term Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, but the point is that it's going to inspire someone not to want to drink wine, and as a figure of speech, we say Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin. Or it could mean that there are obviously other restrictions on a Nazir, but it's only this one that correlates to Sota, meaning the other restrictions on a Nazir, this is the cord that connects Sota to Nazir, but in a Chinami, there are other parts of Nazir as well, or maybe wine is just the most obvious thing that we mentioned when it relates to the Sota, but really all of the restrictions of a Nazir in some way may relate to a Sota. Maybe wine is Megala on the rest of them. That once we're saying that someone wrote Sota B'Kukula, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, so also look carefully at the other restrictions of a Nazir and see how someone may want to take on those things if they don't want to end up like the Sota. Now, if that third suggestion is correct, so that gives us a little bit of work to do, right? Because now we have to figure out, what is the correlation between Tumas Meis and Sota? What's the correlation between not getting a haircut and Sota? Right? What is the correlation between all of the Dinim of Nizirus and Sota? So when the Daf Yomi was learning Sota, there was one Mishnah that caught my attention, which I think sometimes gets overlooked. It's a Mishnah Daf Zayin Amud Aleph in Sota. It tells us how to encourage a suspected Sota to admit what she had done. That we're supposed to work on her to try to get her to admit what she had done rather than have to erase the Shem Hashem. Erasing the Shem Hashem is not a good thing. So the Mishnah says, we explain to her that, look, we get it. We understand why people do averos. We understand where it comes from. We understand where you're coming from. Unfaithfulness to a husband isn't just something that a woman wakes up one day and decides that she's going to be unfaithful to her husband. Obviously, there's a context within which everything happens. And things happened in your life prior to that led you to that point. And the Mishnah highlights four elements. And I think all the four elements in the Mishnah are not only describing the causes for a woman to be unfaithful to her husband, a cause of infidelity, but in a certain sense, it's really the four things that the Mishnah highlights are really a cause for averos in general. That in general, when what we're describing in that Mishnah is we say to her, I get it, I know why you did the avera, because this, and this. Now, when you look at all averos, it's one of those four things that lead a person to avera. What are the four things? So first we tell her, harbe yayin osa. when you drink a lot of wine, you tend to act in a way that's irresponsible. You tend not to think of the consequences of your actions. You're much more impetuous. You just react to things. And in general, that's just not a good mahalich in life. That if a person, I've often quoted, my wife likes to quote from Rebbetzin Neuberger, strike while the iron is cold, right? When a person is all heated up about something, that is not the time to react to something. I just had a maisa yesterday. We had someone, Rabbi Jordan Auerbach, wrote up in the Torah to Go, one of my rabbi's desk shiurim. So which shiur did he choose to write up? It was about a Shana Aleph guy in Israel got into a cab and he started striking up a conversation with a Chiloni driver, and they were talking and learning, and then the guy thought, oh no, this guy didn't say Birchas HaTorah. Am I allowed to talk and learning with him? Am I allowed to teach him Torah? So I gave a whole shiur why it's mutter. So someone wrote a letter to the Torah to Go. How could you publish such a thing? Was there ever a havamina that you're not going to do any kiruv because people didn't say Birchas HaTorah? And you know, like my whole shul was so upset. You know, like so my first reaction was like, you know, whatever. You know, to it was not a kind reaction. So, but I didn't react right away. I didn't respond, honestly, because I was too busy to respond. But this morning, I woke up and, you know, I got a good night's sleep. And so I texted Rabbi Auerbach. I said, just apologize. It doesn't hurt, you know, like, just say, oh, we thought it was just a cute hook. Obviously, there was never any havamina. You're not going to teach Torah to people who haven't said a Birchas HaTorah. But it was just a cute hook to teach the dinim of Birchas HaTorah and what a Birchas HaMitzvah is and whatever. And obviously, you know, we weren't sensitive enough to you and your kihila, you know. And you know, so I mean, what do you lose? What do you lose by apologizing? I mean, when you act in a way that, like when you react and you're not... So when a person is drunk, they react. But when a person has an opportunity to just like have a little bit of perspective, you act differently, you react differently. So that's the first thing we tell her, harbe yayin osa. Second thing we tell her is harbe schok osa. When a person just is, everything's a joke, when life is a joke, that leads a person to have errors also. Life is serious. What we do matters, what we say matters. When you act like nothing matters, then you're more likely to make decisions that in the long term are going to have negative consequences. And then we say, harbe yaldus osa, that immaturity, vanity, leads a person to avera. And then we say, harbe shechinim ra'im osim, that being in a bad crowd, being in a bad chevra, having bad influences in your life, that also does a lot of, can do a lot of damage and can cause you to sin. So now that we know what causes a person to sin, and particularly what causes the sota to sin, we can examine how the rules of Nazirus address those causes of Avera, right? Meaning Sota Bekulkula says, I don't want to end up in the winner's circle. I don't want to be there. So Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin, but not just Yayin. So first and most obvious is the Yayin. Harbe Yayin Osef. Wine causes a person to sin and even become a Sota. So the Nazirus that serves as a response to that should certainly include refraining from wine. It's obviously very relevant in our generation where wine drinking is much more... I don't know. It's a much bigger Indian nowadays than it was when I was a kid. It used to be that, I don't know, everyone had like these cheap, sweet Kedem wines, you know. There was now everyone's a wine connoisseur. And if you pay attention, sometimes a wine connoisseur is just a very thin veil for alcoholism. You pay attention a little bit and you see, I'm an expert. I'm an expert in schnapps. Why are you such an expert in schnapps and wine or whatever? Yeah, meaning sometimes people can actually taste the finer things in life. Sometimes people just look for an excuse to get drunk. So, you know, it used to be that a Yid would have some scotch after fish before the main meal. Now it's not uncommon for from Jew to be drunk or high at a Toyameh before Shabbos even starts. And so Rabbi Brand told me that there was a chevra in Chicago that was, you know, doing a like a Hasidic minyan, and they were getting Lebedik and whatever, and they were starting this whole neo Hasidic movement there, and they had a big Toyameha with all sorts of stuff on Erev Shabbos, and Rav Moshe Weinberger came to Chicago. And they you know, they met with him, they were telling him what they were doing, and he's like, oh, it's so nice, and he's giving such chizik. And then he said, yeah, we have this big tayameh before Shabbos, and you know, with and he's like, where does it say that in Shulchan Aruch? Does it say in Shulchan Aruch somewhere that you're supposed to get drunk before Shabbos? You should be mevatel the whole shul. Everything you're doing is garbage. He like stormed out. So it was like they were like stunned. I mean, I think they still exist and they adjusted what they do. Meaning it was a perspective change. Like, oh my gosh, it's not just, you know, that it's free for all. We have a shulchan aruch that we have to follow. So harbi yayin osa. Second is harbi schok osa. That when a person takes life too lightly, it's helpful to make a serious decision in life that can only be taken with the utmost gravity. Meaning, nazirus is unique in the very way that nazirus is taken. That nazirus neder kiyafli, the Torah says. Chazal understand lo nitna nazirus elo lahafla'a. Hafla'a means a 100% absolute commitment. There's no hemming and hawing about becoming a nazir, right? The person says hareni nazir shezeh nazir, hareni nazir shezeh eino nazir. The Mishnah says I'm so confident that, you know, that two people are looking at a guy with long hair walking down the street. One of them says I'm so confident that guy's a nazir. I'll be a nazir if he's a nazir. And the other says no, I'll be a nazir if he isn't a nazir, right? If I'm wrong, then I'll be a nazir. And then even if you are wrong, right? And he's a hipster, not a chassid, right? He's not a nazir. You're still not a nazir. But the deal is a deal. You said hareini nazir. If that guy's not going to be that, no, because it wasn't bahafla. It was if. There's no if when it comes to nazir. Harbi schok osa. We're dead serious when it comes to nazir, and that's why nazirus is never. There can't be nazirus for less than 30 days. I remember as a fifth grader, when we were learning Parshas Naso in class, so the Rebbe was telling us about being a Nazir. So kids were like, okay, I'll be a Nazir for 5 minutes. I'll be a Nazir for 10 minutes. Right? There's no such thing. You can't be a Nazir 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Stam Nazir Shloshim Yom means minimum Nazirus is Shloshim Yom. Because it's a serious decision. It's serious. It's not Tzchok. Third, Harbe Yaldus Osa. That immaturity and vanity lead a person to Avera. The state of Nazirus obviously addresses that, because it demands that the Nazir grows his hair wildly and then shaves it all off. So hair, it was always been, in Tanakh especially, the symbol of immaturity, right? Yosef is described as a nar, and he's, what does Rashi say? Misalsel b'sa'aro, right? You have Avshalom. Hair is always associated with a certain sense of vanity and immaturity. That's the heroic Nazir who was blessed by Shimon HaTzadik in Nazir Daftes, was motivated to become a Nazir because he saw the pride he took in his beautiful hair. So he decided, Galecha Chalu Shemayim, I'm going to shave all of this off for the sake of Shemayim. That's also something that's very relevant in our generation. I don't know, when I was a kid, again, I feel like an old man complaining about this stuff. When I was a kid, when you got old, you lost your hair. Now, when you get old, you fly to Turkey and you get a surgery that gets you a new head of hair. I don't know, you don't know about this? Look around your shul. People used to be bald. It's not just in the five towns. It used to be that it's okay to get older. It's not. Rav Neuberger told me that when Rav Soloveitchik was in his early 70s, he said that the fear of old age that you see in America is not a Jewish attitude. Old age is a badge of honor. Meaning the Rav Lapiansky once said, every crease on a zaken's face used to be a badge of honor. It was that represents life experience. It represents chachma. It represents wisdom. Now, the kunz is, you know what a successful 70-year-old is? If they look like a 40-year-old. That's success as a 70-year-old. That's not a Jewish perspective. That's yaldus also. That's immaturity. That's vanity. I remember at the beginning of COVID, there were many people in America that were saying, all right, so the old people will die. But let everybody else do their thing. And Rav Asher Weiss was so angry. He said, a Jew mourns the loss of Rav Gershon Edelstein, not despite the fact that he was 100 years old, but because he was 100 years old. Meaning that, and that's what, that we lost so much more because he was so great, because we value that. And then the final thing is Harbe Shechenim Ra'im Osim. That obviously having bad influences and friendships impacts our life for the negative. The prohibition of becoming Tamei Lameis, I think, addresses that problem. A person who won't even so much as attend a funeral is saying that human relationships don't mean anything to him. It's a statement of like this extreme independence, that he's staying away from other people. The Nazir demonstrates that his relationships have been so toxic that he's better off without any relationship. Rav Shechter writes in Ginas Egos that the concept of Sudas Havra'a, which says that an Avil B'Yom Rishon is not allowed to eat his own food, he has to eat from other people that provide for him, is a form of communal Nichum Avelim, or it might be a Nihug Avelus. Because by requiring even that his basic sustenance, that first bagel and that first egg, comes from other people, the Avil is showing that he depends on other people. And that enhances the Avelus. Because a person who's in need of who's in need of human relationships and then loses one of the closest relationships, that's a person in mourning. And we try to fill them in, that's nichum avelim, because we try to enhance the human relationships. So I mentioned this vart to Rav Moshe Tzvi Weinberg, and he told me a beautiful vart from Rav Isaac Sher, that the Satan wanted to attack Eov, so Hashem gave him carte blanche, you could do whatever you want to Eov. So he said, you take everything from him, you just cannot take his life. And what did the Satan take from him? He took his money, he took his children, he took everything from him. Not really, though. He didn't take his friends from him. I don't understand. The Satan was told you could take everything from him. So why didn't he take his friends from him? Why did he leave him with his friends? So Rav Isaac Sher explained, O chavrusa misusa, the Gemara in Bava Basra says, if a person doesn't have companionship, they don't have relationships, then O misusa, then he's as good as dead. The deal was the Satan couldn't kill Eov. Taking friendships would be the same as killing him. And it's not only resonant in our generation, that's an idea that's resonant in every generation. We're always a product of our environments and a product of our peer groups. The most successful learning programs that exist are always, an element of a chevershaft, of people getting together, because human beings, we react to relationships, we need relationships. And there's nothing worse than a toxic relationship and nothing better than a genuine positive relationship. Someone who has, I've been quoted many times, where Rav Reisman says that people call him and they ask about a bachur and they say, is he going to be the kind of guy that learns night seder every night even after he gets married? And he said, well, it depends on the girl he marries, right? Meaning that's always the answer. It depends on the girl he marries. Because the relationships make us who we are. So those are the four core causes of sin. Mind-altering substances, frivolity, vanity, and toxic friendship. Nazirus is not a practical solution for most of us, but being aware of what leads people down a road of Avera and avoiding those four items, those four elements of leading us down a road of Avera, to instead make sure that we have in our lives a serious attitude, deep values, a focused mind where we're not, altered with other things, and surrounded by good friends and family, that ultimately leads a person to a greater sense of Avodas Hashem.